5. Base Elul, Monday the 17th of August, Rabbi Yeshaya Nosson Feilich, save me.
Good morning. People are wondering what's the title, Save Me. I must admit, last Thursday afternoon, I'm driving down the M6. And Dudi Itzkovich calls me in Friday, you can speak on Monday morning in the plug hole and tow you away. I said to him, look, I'm stuck in heavy traffic now, call me another couple of hours time. So he rings me a couple of hours later, I'm still stuck in traffic. I said, I'm still stuck in traffic, but I'll do it for you anyways. He said, so what's the title? I said, I didn't just save me. So he wrote down Save Me. Now I've got to fit the drosha to the title. But I thought about it a little bit, and I thought to myself that Elul is taka the time of Save Me. Saying Dov Hashem Oyri V'Yishi, Yishi is Save Me. It's a cry for help, a cry to Hashem for help, to help us to tshuva this month. So I'll just start off with a short mashal, and then we'll go into the halacha part. Then maybe we'll come back to the Save Me later. I just actually met Dudi before, and he said, well, then you saved me, he said. So... So the moshel is that there was at the time when the Russian Tsar Nikolai, the infamous, cruel Tsar, there was a guard outside his palace late at night, and he sees this fellow coming towards him. He was swaying a little bit, obviously under the influence of alcohol, and shaker. So he said to him, stop, what's your name? The fellow didn't answer, didn't reply. So he shouts again, halt, identify yourself. No response. So he shouts a third time, in the name of Tsar Nikolai, the Tsar of the whole of Russia, I command you to stop and tell me who you are. No response. Took his gun and he shot him in the leg. Afterwards, the fellow took him for a court case. What do you shoot me for? He says, what do you mean, what do you shoot me for? I asked you three times to identify yourself and you didn't tell me who you were. So I said, yeah, but you could see that I was drunk, so, you know, what, you should have a little bit of rachmanos. So he said, you may have been drunk, but when I say the name Tsar Nikolai, that should have penetrated all the way through your drunkenness and brought you to your senses. So he said, the Bala Musa say that the whole year round, the person's got a teretz, he's half drunk, you know, he's shikha, he's not thinking in gans and what's going on. That's all very nice, but when you hear the word Rosh Chodesh Elul, that should bring it to your senses, that should penetrate. So let's go and look at a little bit of Advar Halucha and Sedra. So I want to concentrate on the Pusuk and the Parshas HaMelech. This week said we've got a Parsha about appointing a king. So besides for all the Isurim, what a king has got, that he's not allowed to have too many wives, and he's not allowed too much money, he's not allowed to have too many horses. But there's a special din written in the Pusuk. Pusuk says like this, V'hoyo k'shiftoi al kisei mamlachtoi, when he's ruling on his throne, V'kosav loi es mishna ha-toira azois al sefer. So he's got to be writing a sefer Torah. So what is Mishnah Torah? What exactly does he have to write? So there's a few perushim exactly in what he means he's got to write. Rashi, there and then on the spot, brings down from the Gemara and Sanhedrin that Mishnah is like Lecha Mishnah, double. That means two Sifra Torah. Meaning as follows. The truth is, every Yid has got Chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah. Officially, we're all supposed to be writing Sifra Torah. Nowadays, how we came that mitzvah is another time we'll talk about it. But officially he's supposed to be writing a Sefer Torah, that's one Sefer Torah. The king has got to write Mishnah Torah. He's got to write a second Sefer Torah. And as I stay tak in the Pirshim Mishnah, the Rambam, v'yichtoiv shtei Sefer Torah shaleimim, he should write two complete Sefer Torah. Why does it say Mishnah Torah? Why doesn't it just say Shnei Sefer Torah? The answer is because before he became a king he already had one. So he doesn't need to write two now. He only needs to write a double now. Now he needs to double up what he's got till now. That's what the Tzitz Chachamim brings down from the Mizrahi, Mishnah Torah. So the Sefer Chinuch says, so what's the big idea? Why does the king have to write an extra Sefer Torah? So he says, the king hasn't really got anybody to tell him what to do. He's the top. Nobody can tell him what to do. So it's a very dangerous situation. He needs an extra special protection. He needs something to the whole time jolt him into the realization that he is subjugated to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he has to do what it says in the Torah. So that's why he has to have the second Sefer Torah constantly in front of his eyes. As we'll see, the Gemara says he's got to carry it with him wherever he goes. So it says, Leman yichboish es yitzroi v'yata liba el yitzroi. So that's why this Sefer Torah is a special extra Sefer Torah. That's the first chat in Mishnah Torah, Mishnah Lushan of double. Double Torah, another Torah. The second chat in Mishnah Torah, actually an interesting chat brought down in the Sifri, one of the shittas in the Sifri, and that is, that a melech needs to have a Sefer Torah, but it needs it for Hakel. Once in 7 years, there's a mitzvah of Hakel. If the Beis Hamikdash will be built in Mitzvah Hashem, then this Sukkos will be doing the mitzvah of Hakel, just straight after the Shemitah year. Everything comes together. And they read out selected pieces from the Torah, from Sefer Devarim. Actually, I'd just like to be ma'ir over here. I find a lot of children in class have this mistake, and I'll be truthful, I myself had this mistake for many years. You know, there's a minig on Shana Rabbah night, some people read through the whole Sefer Devarim, from Devarim all the way to the end of the Zayis HaBarucha. And they call it Mishnah Torah. And I always used to think, Taka, that that's what used to be by Hakel, they read through the whole Sefer Devarim. It takes a couple of hours. But it's not true. The Mishnah says clearly in Masechta Sota, the Mishnah, exactly what they lined. A little bit here, a little bit there, Shema, Moen Shemoya, Bruchas, Klolas, here and there. The whole thing was 20-minute job, let's say, half an hour job maximum. It's not the whole Mishnah Torah at all. But at any rate, Rabbi Shalom wanted that the king should have a special Sefer Torah for this, and I suppose Rabbi Shalom didn't want that he should just write bits and pieces of the Torah, so a whole Sefer. So you've got the whole Sefer Devarim, and that's the whole Sefer Devarim, so that's the Mishnah Torah. So according to the second Shitta, the second Sefer Torah which the king wrote was only Devarim. That's the second Shitta. The third Shitta brought down a Das Kenin by the Tosfos, and also the Rosh also brings down this. And he says, surprisingly, that in this Sefer Torah, all which was written there, all that was written there, was the Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros. So why is it called Mishnah Torah? So this is what the Das Kenin Baal Tosfos says. Because from Onoichi, that's the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros, until Asher L'Reyecho, there's 613 letters. So that's a remez to the 613 mitzvahs. So therefore, that's why they call it a Mishnah Torah, because it's got something, it's the Aseres HaDibros, it's connected all the 613 mitzvahs. Could be that that's what Targum Unklus also holds, because Targum Unklus brings, Rashi brings Targum Unklus, that Mishnah Torah is Lushnov Paschegen. Paschegen is a lushan of a nusach, like a specified text. So we've got three shittas. Either that he writes the whole Sefer Torah, or that he writes just Sefer Devarim, to be used for Hakel, or the Aseres HaDibros, which is 613 letters. Actually, if you count up the letters of the Aseres HaDibros, you find that there isn't 613 letters. There's 620 letters. 620 letters, Kaminyan, Keser. Keser is a crown. The Baal HaTurim says in Parshas Yisroi, 620 letters, because it's the Tariag Mitzvahs, plus the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So you have to say that when the Das Kenin Baal Tosfos says, from Anoichi till Asher L'Reyecho, 613 letters, means till Asher L'Reyecho be'ad v'loyad b'chlal. Asher L'Reyecho is the last seven letters, that's not counted. But actually I had a difficulty on this. What do you mean 613 mitzvahs plus the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach? Without going into all the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but let's just take a few of them. Loisirtzach, a guy is not allowed to kill. Well, that's included in the Loisirtzach of the Sefer Torah. Loisignoiv, not to do znos. So why can you count them as extra? I had this difficulty, and then I reminded myself that the Sas of a Rebbe, Zichron Lebrucha, once came into my classroom. He used to come often into my classroom, speak to the boys in Yiddish, and I had to explain it to them afterwards in English. And so he came in before Shavuos, and he asked the kasha to the boys. He says, the Rebbein Shleinim sent a malach to the Goyim before Kabbalah the Torah and says, would you like to receive the Torah? So the Goyim say, well, what's written in the Torah? So to one of them he said, mustn't murder. No, not for us. Next one, would like to see the Torah? No. Would you like to see the Torah? What's written in the Torah? Mike Sivbo, Lo Signov. We can't do it. Similarly, Lo Sinov. So he asked the same question. He said, what do you mean the guy says Lo Siritzach is not for us? One of the Sheva Mitzvah Noich, anyway, he's not allowed to kill. One of the Sheva Mitzvah are not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to do Znos. So why did the guy suddenly get so hyped up about it? So he told the boys, basically, and with that I'm going to answer this question. He said to the boys, what does a guy think Lo Siritzach means? It means don't take out your gun and shoot the fellow dead. That's what Lo Siritzach means. By Yi, Lo Siritzach has got different connotations. If you put somebody to shame, Gemara says, all the blood drains out of his face, he becomes white. It's a type of Shvichas Domim. So it's also a type of a murder. Finer nuances. What does it mean, Lo Signo? If you tell a guy Lo Signo, it means don't throw a brick through a jeweler's window and grab some gold watches there. What's by Yid Lo Signoiv? Gneva Stas, Gezal Shino, finer things. Same thing as Lo Sinov. By Goy Lo Sinov means not to do Znus. By Yid, there's much more Hagdoras, Shmiris and Ayim, and being careful what you look, and all these types of things. That's what the Goyim didn't want to accept. Of the Yid said Nasav Nishma, the Yid wanted to accept it. So according to that Pshat of the Sas of the Rebbe, for and for the Kasha, the Sheva Mitzvah of Noach you have the Sheva Mitzvah of Bnei Noach, but the 613 mitzvahs are on top of that. Those are extra finer things which are included in the Torah, which maybe that's not so included in the Sheva Mitzvah of Bnei Noach. Then I looked around a little bit more, and I found that others say that no, it's the 613 mitzvahs, the Raisa, plus 7 mitzvahs Drabonon. Now it's not so clear what these 7 mitzvahs Drabonon are. Some of them are very clear, like Erevin, Netilas Yadayim. Others, there's a bit of discussion about. If you look around in the Poskim, you'll see. But I found in the Chasam Sofer an interesting thing. He says that, okay, so the last 7 letters of the Aseret Dibros are for the Sheva Mitzvahs Drabonon. So that's the last 7 letters. Asher L'Reyecho. So he makes the following Rosh HaTevis. I wrote it down. Aleph, he says, is Avelus. Chazal made a chi of Avelus of a person lo aleinu. That's the Aleph. The Shin, Sin, Simchas Chusin V'Kala, Mechuyev to make Sheva Brochas to be Mesamech Chusin V'Kala, it's also Mitzvah Drabonon. The Reish, Rechitza, that's referring to the Netilas Yadayim. Lamed, Lechem, is referring to Pas Akum, Chazal Mesakin, you're not allowed to eat Goyish bread. Reish is Rishuyos, got to do with the Rishuyos on Shabbos, that's what that you're Erevin. And Ayin stands for Amolek, the Rem is for Megillas Esther, also a mitzvah drabonon. And the Chof is Kohanim, the mitzvah of Chanukah, which was from the Kohanim, which the who did the Nes of Chanukah. So there you've got the 7 mitzvahs drabonon in the Rosh Tevez Hashem L'Reyecho, and in another place Chasam Sofer arranges it a little bit differently. One or two added in, one or two missed out. So you see that the 7 mitzvahs drabonon are not so clear. So those, they were Kohanim, the Bimei Matzio Ben Yochim.
What's the mitzvah that we left
here? To light the Chanukah lights. To light the Chanukah lights, the mitzvah drabonon. So that is these things. So those are the 3 pshatim which we've got from the Rishonim. Either the king has to write the whole Torah, or the Hakeil, or the Aseres HaDibros. I want to mention a Rishash. Interesting Rishash. Brought down in the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that the king this Sefer Torah, he's got to take it and he's got to carry it around with him wherever he goes. He should make it like an amulet for Toila Oysa Zeroyai, and he should hang it over his arm. So the Rosh asks the Kasha, excuse me, hanging a Sefer Torah over your arm? The Gemara says in Bruches, very sharp Lashonis about somebody who hangs up his tefillin. And the Rosh Hashanah says, it's evident that not just if you hang it on a peg, even if a person's hanging it on himself, is also forbidden. So how can a king walk around hanging a Sefer Torah from himself all day? That's what Rosh Hashanah asks. The emissaries of Teferis Yisrael seems to have been thinking about this question. And Teferis Yisrael says, it doesn't really mean hanging on to his arm, literally hanging. It means it's tied on nicely to his arm in a way that it's constantly hanging on him. Not literally hanging on him, but it's constantly in front of his eyes. So he seems to be wanting to answer the kasha of the Rosh Hashanah. But the Rosh Hashanah himself says that I think that this Mishnah Torah wasn't a whole Sefer Torah. It was only a very small, just like a small Sefer HaMitzvahs, just a list of the mitzvahs which the king had to have, a list of all the mitzvahs. And he says, I think this is what the Targum means when he says Paschegen. That's what the Rosh Hashanah says. And he says that I think that the Mashal who wants to say that it means that you should write it very, very, very thinly, very small. He says the Mashal already says it's Divrei Nevius. And it was a very, very, very small selection of, just a selection of mitzvahs from the Torah. So that's really a false pshat. And if you say there was just Aseret HaDibros, then probably the Rosh Hashanah would also agree that it's not the whole Sefer Torah and such a thing you'll have to hang. I also saw another teretz in Rosh Hashanah's kasha, and that is why you'll have to hang a Sefer Torah. If you look in the Rambam misses out this bit that the king has to hang a Sefer Torah on his arm. Why? So some paskim say that, okay, the Rambam doesn't say everything, it's Dr. Mamish saying everything, but others say that no, the Gemara in Bruchas who says you're not allowed to hang up your tefillin is mechulek with our Gemara over here. Tefillin you're not allowed to hang up, and the Sefer Torah definitely not. And our Gemara says the king should hang it on. The Rambam passes like the Gemara in Bruchas and is arguing with the Gemara in the Sanhedrin. I just want to mention something which is a little bit neger to us, which comes out from this. First of all, I saw the Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, the Bruchas brings down. Somebody asked him if you're allowed to take a mezuzah and use it for kmeah, like a type of a charm, or to bring a tzlocha, to hang it around your neck. Is there any issa in hanging such a thing around? It says you shouldn't hang it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that no, hanging only means to hang it up on the wall, hang it up on a peg. Hanging on yourself? That's forget, it's chavivas, you mechabed it. And he says, I've got a raya. What's my raya? Mariah is the king hangs Sefer Torah on himself. So you see from Moshe Feinstein that he learnt, he dismissed the kasha of the Rosh Hashanah. No problem with hanging something on yourself. It's only also to hang something on a peg or hang it on the wall. That's the bizoyin. Lemasa halacha lemaisa. If you look in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Mem, the first sif, it says there about a person hanging his tefillin. You know when we put on tefillin in the morning, the sharosh. So are you allowed to take out your sharosh and sort of hang it, hold it from the knot, the double dalad or the mem, whatever one is at the back, and sort of put it on like this, because it'll be hanging down. So the Torah Zav says, Nishkefelech, that's the way how you put it on, Nishkefelech. And other Mephoshim say, no, it's not so becovered, you shouldn't really do it like that. There's a range of poskim. Some say, Chas v'Shalom, you must never do it like that. I've seen most people really, you hold it with both. You hold with one hand the front part, and the other hand the part, you sort of put it on like that. Don't leave it hanging. But if you do leave it hanging, it's nishkefelech. The Torah Zav allows you to do it. And they say, hanging on your body is nishkefelech. You know, that's not called hanging. That's not what the Gemara means when the Gemara says very sharp things against a person hanging his tefillin. So, that's what I wanted to speak of, is the Divrei Halacha. Just to finish off the last few minutes, talking about save me. The Elul is taki a savior. Some people who think the Elul is like an ol, like you have for 3 weeks, which they can't wait to get rid of them. You know, it's a sad time. You want to get it over and done with. There's some people that Elul is also like that. You know, it's a strain. So hard times, let's just get the Elul past us, etc. But really, obviously, don't really need to even say it, the Elul is our saviour, it's our privilege, that we've got an opportunity to be able to clean ourselves up. Every person knows when you clean your house for Pesach, it's taka hard work. But at the end of the day, you're happy, you've got your house clean. If you go in a Goyish holiday house where they never do Pesach cleaning, you'll know what I mean. Maybe they do a superficial spritz, you know, the day before you come. But if you look behind the gas stove, you'll know exactly. Some people, they never clean themselves up, they never clean their houses up. We've got, unfortunately, during the course of the year, we soil out the Shomas with various Averas, Chas V'Shalom, and here we've given the opportunity to be able to clean ourselves up, b'chassidim, on Yom Kippur, before they say Oshamnu, so they sing. They sing, Kiyon HaMech. Some people say, what are you singing for? You're admitting your Averas, it's supposed to be b'kovet rosh, b'bechim, b'meriris, and everything. Takazoi. Oh, if I've got an opportunity now to be b'kayim in the mitzvah's vidya, to clean myself up, so I'm b'simcha, that I'm able to clean out the rubbish. Shteta read out before that there's Pesukim, which are Rosh Hatevus Elul, Inu Leyodo V'Samti Loch. Elul is like an Orim Miklot, it's like a place of refuge, a place where you can save yourself from the Yetzirah. Next week's Sedra, it says, La'atzilcho V'losei Soivecho L'fonecho, also Rosh Hatevus Elul, that it's a place where Rabbi Shalom puts, we can save ourselves from our enemy, from the Yetzirah. I remember, I want to mention about from my father, Zichron Lebruche, as you know, speak here often. Remember, the Sheva Bruches of my oldest daughter, my father stood up to speak. And he says, I want to inform the Chosen that the Kala has got a chesreinus. I started going blue and green. I wondered what's coming next. And with my father, you never knew what was going to be the next lad. So he said, I don't know what they are, the chesreinus, but it's obvious she's got chesreinus. Everybody's got chesreinus. So why am I mentioning it here, he says. He says, because the Chosn realizes the Kala's got Chesreinus. But the Chosn is so happy and pleased with this Kala, but he overlooks the Chesreinus. So he said that he thinks this is push-up pshat in the Pusuk which we say in these Haftiris, which we say in this time of the year, and Shevet in the Chemto. Pusuk says, U'mesois Chosn al Kala yosis olayich alekoyich. In the Chodoy, you say the other way around. This is like the Koyach, this is Chosn HaKala, we sing it. What does it mean? We say to the Rebbein Shloilem, we know we've got Chesreinus. Everybody's got Chesreinus. But we're trying our best. We want you to be so pleased with us, like a Chosn with a Kala, that you overlook the Chesreinus. So that was my father's vote. And actually, I must tell you, a couple of weeks, that was in the month of Elul, and I made Chasna. A couple of weeks later, just before Rosh Hashanah, I get a phone call from my father. He said, do you remember what I said by the Sheva Brochas? I said, yes, I remember it. So he said, did I shock you for a second or two? Did you think? I said, to be truthful, yes, he did. So he said, that's why I'm ringing up now. I want to ask you, Bechili, before Rosh Hashanah, in case I made you a little bit nervous for a few seconds. So of course, I was moichelim. Lemaisa, even though Lemaisa, we say that a person, we're privileged in the month of Elul, and the Rebbein Shalom loves us so much that he overlooks our chesreinus, but it's not something to have an air of complacency about. We've got to work, we've got to take the day seriously. As we said before, cleaning a house is work. It's good, but it's work. So I just want to finish off with a mushal. There was a farmer, not very learned in the ways of the world. He loaded up his cart full of a big, huge load of hay, and he's trying to drive it into the barn where he stores his hay there with a horse and cart, and he drives it all the way up to the barn. The load was so big it didn't fit in the door of the barn. So he's sitting there in front of the cart with a whip, and he's whipping his horse to pull it. It doesn't go in. It doesn't fit in. He's sweating away there. Meantime, somebody went by, Shticker Letz. He went by and said to him, what's your problem? What are you doing? So he said, it doesn't go in. So he said, don't you realize the door's a bit too small? So he said, well, what should I do? He said, I've got something to help you. Takes out of his pocket binoculars. He said, what's this binoculars? If you look through binoculars, everything comes bigger. You look through this binoculars, I'll sell you this binoculars special price for you. and you look through it, you see the door become bigger and you'll be able to get in. She said, that's marvellous. How much do you want for it? She said, for you, £50. Okay, give them the £50. And he looks through it and whips the horses. Nothing else, doesn't happen. So he takes off the glasses from his eyes, and the fellow's standing there. She said, what are you doing this to me for? So he said, no, you don't realize. If you make the door bigger, then the head is also going to come bigger. She said, so why are you selling me the binoculars then? He said, no, I don't see. If you turn it the other way around, then everything becomes smaller. So this is what you got to do. You got to look at the door with the big side, and you got to turn around the other way and look at the load of hay with the small side and whip up your horses, and that should do the trick. But I've got to go now, so buy a colt. And he runs off down the road, and he leaves this farmer schmeissing his horse and sweating away, and it's not working, it's not going. Until somebody else comes by and says, what are you trying to do with this binoculars turning around and around and whipping your horses? So he told him what to do. He said, no, listen, the binoculars can't change the metzias, can't change the facts. It's not going to fit in. Binoculars doesn't make the door bigger, and the binoculars doesn't make the hay any smaller. So he said, so what should I do? He said, you've got only one option. Climb up on the back of the wagon and start taking off the load of hay, and eventually you'll be able to get in. So the nimshel is, we know we've got to get in for Rosh Hashanah, everybody's got to get in, we've got to be home and dry. We've got a whole pile of averus in the back of our wagon, and we're trying to get in. Doesn't fit in. So what does Yetzer Hara do? He comes and he sells us a pair of binoculars. He tries to fool us. He says, the Rabbi Shalom is gross. Rabbi Shalom is very big. He's a Baal Rachmonas. And he tries, builds it up. He's got the big binoculars. And anyway, your averus are very small. You haven't sinned that much, etc. Tries to minimize the averus. It's not going to work, Rabbi Shalom. There's only one way which is going to work. The way which is going to work is just get rid of those pile of averus to tshuva, and that way we'll be able to Hashem get in for Rosh Hashanah. So that is the save me. And I just thought to finish it off, as save me is Rosh Hateves, spiritual and very elevating month, El.